Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai. Kosai.org.
Good evening and welcome to Monsters Among Us, the Tuesday edition. I am your guide, Derek Hayes. Hey there, folks, and welcome back to another installment. It's great to have you here with us tonight, because I have something pretty cool in store for you. Now, tonight's subject matter was practically unheard of prior to 1947. Before that, they were rarely seen, and often labeled as mystery airships or Foo Fighters. Now these days, people push the term UAPs, but I'm old school, so I stick with the original. So tonight's theme is all about UFOs, unidentified flying objects. Big ones, small ones, bright ones, dull ones. We run the gamut with tonight's selections. Now, as I was processing the calls for this episode, I realized one thing, that each of tonight's calls fell neatly into one of three categories. Balls or orbs of light, fireballs, moving stars, that sort of thing. Then there are actual craft, triangles, saucers, and even tin cans. And lastly, you have your WTFs, the claim so wild that I don't even know where to start. Except to say that it's with the latter that we begin this evening. Let's kick it off with Seth in the state of Nebraska.
Hey, my name's Seth, and I'm from Sioux County, Nebraska. This county borders Wyoming and South Dakota. On this particular night, it was June of 2022, and I was driving through Ardmore, South Dakota, which is just like a ghost town where very few people live. And I was with my buddy Mike. So we were just driving through this eerie little town where like every building is abandoned. And we look up and there's just this huge saucer floating over us. And I was scared. And I look over and I know my friend saw it because he was scared too. So we keep driving along. We get to a rest stop down along our way, and I ask him about it, and he's like, no, I didn't see that. That never happened. But I know he saw it because he was even more scared than I was. And I don't know. It's almost like he might have got abducted or something, but I don't know because he definitely saw it. I don't know. After we saw this, my buddy was denying it, right? And I tried to mention it to him this year, and like he got mad at me almost. Like he denied it. He's like, I've never seen that. And Mike's like a really relaxed guy. Like, usually he'd just be like, ah, you're full of it, man. But he was like really mad. And Mike's not like that. So I don't know. That just makes it creepy to me. I don't know if he got abducted or what happened to him.
Thanks, Seth. You know, you hear about that from time to time. A witness absolutely refusing to discuss an encounter that they obviously had, to the point where they pretend that it didn't even happen. Now, I don't know if this is because of fear. If they acknowledge it, that somehow makes it more real. Or it might possibly bring it back. Or if maybe they were just scared so badly that their brain simply deleted the event from their memory as some sort of self-preservation tactic. Then again, it could be, like Seth said, and maybe Mike was abducted, and his mind was wiped by the pros. Regardless, it was a great entry, and the perfect way to kick off this all UFO episode. Now, before we hit play on this next entry, if you have a story you would like to share here on the program, simply call the hotline at 888-608-NIGHT. That's 888-608-NIGHT. And don't forget, if you're out of state or you have bad cell phone reception, record your story as a voice memo on your cell phone and email it to me at monstersamonguspodcast@gmail.com. Now, this next report might detail a craft so unusual that you might not ever hear about it again. Tom from Iowa, welcome to the program.
Hi, my name's Tom, and I grew up in a little town called Eldon, Iowa, the home of the Gothic House, Grant Wood's painting. When I was about 7 years old, and this was about 1987, the summer of 87, in the afternoon, around 12, 1 o'clock, I was outside playing with my sister. I seen from a distance this round, brown object coming towards us. When it got above us, it was probably, I don't know, 200 yards above us. And I bet it was at least a football field or two big. It was round and brown like a tin can. Made absolutely no sound. It flew over top of our head. Obviously, we were little and we ran and told our mom. And obviously, they didn't believe us. I have no idea to this day what it could be. That was my UFO sighting. Thank you.
Thanks, Tom. Well, that is a pretty unusual sighting, but not unheard of. I had Delaney track down the following tidbit of information on another tin can UFO. Back in 1994, National Weather Service meteorologist Jack Bushong noticed some strange anomalies on his radar over Muskegon, which were also witnessed by folks on the ground who were down there calling in their reports to the local police and news station. The three solid objects were coming together and jumping apart in nearly 20-mile increments, and Bushong infamously described the objects looking like, of all things, a tin can. Here is Jack Bushong using the tin can description in his own words.
He says the radar told him he was looking at something solid.
It was a flying tin can. You know, I don't know how else to explain.
That clip from a local news report from the 1990s. And I'm not sure which aspect is more unusual. The fact that this shape was reported more than once. Or the fact that someone saw one in the first place. Thanks again, Tom, for calling in. Now, folks, this next entry is one of those strange flying craft reports that I warned you about in the opener. And this one comes to us from Dante in Nebraska.
This is Dante. I'm originally from New Hampshire. I'm currently in Nebraska. This story takes place in New Hampshire. There was a time where I was working at Dunkin' Donuts in Penacook, New Hampshire, and I was walking home. And I was crossing the Hannah Dustin Bridge. It was around 11:30 to 12 o'clock at night. And I looked up. So when I looked up, I saw like a thing of like green lights in a triangular pattern. and it was going by pretty fast. And then afterwards, I heard like the sound of like a jet boom. So I feel like I saw an alien craft or something like that, and maybe the government was chasing it. I'm not sure. Or it was just the craft itself. That's all I got. Thank you.
Thank you, Dante. Green lights. That's one of the more popular forms these UFOs are taking as of late. And I'm not sure if there's any relation here, but I did a package about green lasers and how people across the country have been seeing them lately. But if you ask me, I would say that these green glowing craft seem to be something unrelated to that. Now, I've linked to a video showing some other green light UFOs. Maybe take a look at that, Dante, and see if anything looks familiar to you. And while we're on the topic of green UFOs, I have another relevant story to share with you. But first, a word from tonight's sponsors.
And then there's the worker's attitude. Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
The real birds.
Now, like I said, Dante wasn't the only one to see a green orb in our collection tonight. Please welcome Jimmy from Parts Unknown.
Hey, Derek. This is Jimmy calling about my experience on Cape Cod, Massachusetts. So my dad has become really nostalgic. Unfortunately, friends and family of his that are around his age have started passing away. And he's also felt compelled to tell stories about his life, especially about people that he misses and, you know, a home where he used to live. And so his cousin who passed away a few years ago, you know, he was remembering that they would drive to the beach every morning and spend the morning at the beach. But he shared a story with me that he said he's told no one else, and it was that one morning they did their usual routine, which was stopping at Kenyon's Market to get a newspaper, and they drove down to the Falmouth Heights Beach. So when you're at the Falmouth Heights Beach, when you look out onto the horizon, 7 miles offshore is Martha's Vineyard, which many people know as the vacation place for the president. And you can see Martha's Vineyard very clearly because it's so close. People often joke that they could swim there. So his cousin's reading the newspaper, which he has up over his face, sort of blocking the windshield. My dad's looking out at the water, likely scratching some scratch tickets. And he says that he sees a green object completely still in the air above the ocean. And he's sitting there, he said, in disbelief, for a good amount of time, just staring, just almost paralyzed. And he just kept saying that this type of green was a green he'd never seen before. And he was asking me, someone with a fine arts background, about this color green and why it could have been so remarkable, which I didn't have any advice because I've never seen the green before. And so he kept stressing this green color was amazing. And we had also at one point lived near Otis Air Force Base, which was very active before 9/11. And so there were planes constantly in and out, the president's private planes flying over, all sorts of military activity. So we know what planes look like. We know what objects in the air look like. And he was saying this was completely still, not moving. And so he with his elbow, sort of nudged his cousin's arm, and his cousin tipped down the edge of the newspaper to look out over the water, and they both just saw this thing hovering completely still in the air. And then he said the object, you know, once they both acknowledged that object was there and they were watching it and giving it their full attention, the object started to move towards them very slowly. And then it almost seemed to stop on a dime and then immediately zip away and disappeared over the horizon in less than a second. And my dad, you know, was saying that his reaction to his cousin, you know, they had this long period of silence, and then he was like, what could that have been? There's no way that we have anything that can do that. You know, I've been flying in those little, you know, four-seater planes over to the island to go to work, and I, you know, I've flown that route so many times, and there's, you know, jets fly through here, and there's nothing. We have nothing that can fly like that, that can hover and stop and move in that kind of direction and go backwards and forwards. And he was like, 7 miles to disappear in that amount of time. Like, you know, it's almost like he was trying to calculate the speed and was in disbelief. And then he was shocked that his cousin didn't react and then said, don't ever talk about this again. And he was like, what? You know? He doesn't care what people think. He doesn't care if people think he's crazy. Like, this was the most sensational thing he'd ever seen. And his cousin said, if you go around town telling people about this, they may, you know, think we're on drugs or alcohol or something. And they're going to, you know, they're going to doubt our sobriety. And where we lived, you know, amongst the locals, there is, you know, pretty significant substance abuse. And, you know, I don't think my dad personally cared what people thought about him or speculated about him, but I know that he very much cared about his cousin's reputation. My dad is not an indigenous person, but his cousin is a member of the local indigenous tribe, and I do know that indigenous folks do feel that speaking about things like this can bring on, you know, bad energy. And so I think my dad really respected that, and I believe that he never spoke a word of any of this story while his cousin was alive. And he shared with me that he's only ever shared this story with me, you know, and he told it to me a couple of times, like fairly recently, back to back. And I thought to myself, like, you know, I've been wanting to record him telling me all these stories, and I thought I should really record, you know, him sharing that. And just 2 weeks later, the Las Vegas UFO supposed crash had happened, I think maybe June of 2023. And this UFO sighting that my dad claims he had been many years ago, so I would speculate somewhere around 2010. So the UFO crash happens, and what I notice on the videos and the reports is that the claim is that the UFO in the sky is green. And to me, this was the first time, you know, both of these stories happening within 2 weeks of each other, it's the first time I'm really hearing about green UFOs and that the color green is really being stressed. So I, you know, find some videos and I text them to my mom because my dad's not great with tech. And I say, hey, show these videos to dad and ask him if that's the green that, you know, he was trying so hard to describe to me. And she was like, oh, sure. And then I found it odd that I never heard back from either of them. Because my dad, you know, like I said, he moved away and he's kind of lonely and he just wants to talk to anyone, and to not respond to this seemed like, So when I talked to her again, I said, hey, you know, did you show dad those videos? Because I know, you know, he can't always, you know, do tech. And she was like, oh, yeah, I showed him. And then she didn't say anything. And I was like, whoa, what did he say? She was like, he didn't say anything. He just watched them and then he went back to watching TV. And for my dad to have no reaction, a non-reaction for someone who's so eager to talk to anyone, you know, I think tells me that he really does believe that there might be some substance to, you know, not talking about these things because it might bring about, you know, some kind of bad energy. And he doesn't want to share that with me. And I've been so eager to want to talk to him about UFOs now, and he does not want any part of the conversation. So I started listening to your podcast and one other. And on another podcast, it was just totally mentioned in passing. This person was almost like listing things off, had used the phrase micro UFO and never elaborated on it. But that term sent shivers down my spine because I never considered that a UFO could be micro. And so it made me think of when I did live back at home on the Cape. I had a basement bedroom that was only partially finished. I was so eager to have my own room that I moved down there before my parents, you know, finished the work in the basement. And my room didn't have a door, so I just looked out into the basement, which was pitch black. There was no light down there. And the only thing I could see was the small red light on the smoke detector, which was at the bottom of the stairs. And so I sort of knew that that was my marker if I had to walk out and go up the stairs. But I started seeing this very small green light that was probably the size of a marble fly in a circular pattern or like an oval pattern, just sort of around that area of the smoke detector, which was the bottom of the stairs. And it would freak me out, so I'd turn on all the lights and then there would be nothing there. And I'd turn off all the lights and there'd be nothing there for a while, and then that green light would come back and it just kept flying in that same pattern. And it did this for months, probably longer, as long as I had been down there. And it wasn't consistent, it wasn't there every day, but it was there quite frequently. And I got so uncomfortable down there, I stopped sleeping down there and I started sleeping on the couch. And for all of high school, I slept on the couch. And I never shared this with anyone because it was like, it didn't make any sense to me. I didn't know how to even categorize it in my brain. It's not the green light. I just had this very deep feeling of being uncomfortable down there. So while listening to your podcast, I think it's season one, episode 11, Stars Watching the Stars, where Dan Aykroyd shares that he saw a UFO in Martha's Vineyard. And I got really excited because I'm like, oh my gosh, are UFOs on the Cape like a thing? So I found his documentary, Dan Aykroyd's UFO Unplugged, but I haven't been able to watch it because I think it might only be available on DVD and I don't have a DVD player. So my question for your viewers is that documentary worth seeing? Is there something more about UFOs on the Cape that I should know about? Has anyone, you know, heard about green UFOs? But more specifically, are micro UFOs a thing? Or am I just connecting two dots that are not related? Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you, Jimmy. I know that documentary pretty well, and I happen to know that it's free up on YouTube. Hit up the show notes at monstersamonguspodcast.com and you'll find a link to view it free right there. And I would say that it's worth a quick view. And I know we don't like to do clips here on the Tuesday edition, but I'm sure more than a few of you are curious about Mr. Aykroyd's sighting at Martha's Vineyard. So here is a brief retelling courtesy of Sway's Universe.
Yeah, I was in Martha's Vineyard one night at 3 a.m. and I went out actually on the deck to relieve myself because I like to do that outside because I'm a man. No, I was just having a leak out there and I saw these two objects at about 100,000 feet glowing very brightly, flying edge to edge, two discs, and, you know, very, very bright, just like round and vividly bright. And so I called my wife out and I called two other people that were sleeping in the house. I said, come out, you got to see this. And we watched as these things lazily sort of zigzagged across the sky at what must have been around 20,000 miles an hour.
So go watch that 2012 documentary, Dan Aykroyd Unplugged on UFOs. It's aged a bit, but there's certainly some good information still contained within. Now I'll have to do some digging on the micro UFO theory. I'll get back to you on that one. And thank you again, Jimmy, for preserving your father's experience and for giving us another example of these strange green UFOs. Now, folks, we're going to switch it up a bit for this next one. It was pulled from the ball of light category. But see if any of the details sound familiar to you on this one. Caleb out of Texas, welcome to the show.
Hi, Derek. This is Caleb from Denton, Texas. I've been listening for a few months now. I drive a lot, and so I listen to your podcast a lot at night because I feel like that is the most enjoyable. I had a story that I wanted to tell. Probably about 9 or 10 years ago, I was a security guard at a natural gas well It's one of those places that they'll drill down and then they'll have all the equipment on site to fill up the tankers and stuff. And so this was right when it was being built and constructed. And so they needed a security guard to be out there just to make sure that nobody got on site and played around or fell in holes or got hurt or anything. And so I was stationed out there overnight. And it was just me, and I'm about 20 years old. And, you know, there's all kinds of spooky stuff that happened out there. It was just being dark real late, nobody else around, just me. And this is off, like, in a field just outside of Denton. And so one night I was sitting in my car, and I saw a green flash. And so I got out of my car and was looking around to see if there, you know, somebody was on site and they weren't supposed to be. And so I was looking around trying to see and didn't find anything. And then so that night went and passed and I got off. And then a few nights later, I was out of my car just kind of looking around, and I saw a green flash again. But this time I saw up in the sky, it looked like a Roman candle was shot off. Because you know how when you shoot those off, they'll flash real bright and then just disappear. This looked like the real bright part of the Roman candle, but it didn't come from straight up. It looked like it was coming down. And it wasn't like a shooting star or a falling star or whatever, because it was probably 50 feet to maybe, you know, 80 feet above me. And it looked like it hopped, like in the sky. So it hopped once, made like an arc, and then disappeared. And so I've looked up, like, green fireball, green light in sky, and there are some postings about it that I found, but it's some kind of phenomenon that people don't know what it is. So I just kind of brushed it off as somebody out there messing around. But then a few weeks later, it happened again, and I saw it. And then this time, after it disappeared, I got back in my car and was just sitting there, and a oval, like, bright yellow light. It looked like someone was pointing a spotlight straight on the ground in front of my car. And the oval just shot down in front of me and just shot off to my right. There's kind of a dirt road out there, and it just kind of zoomed off into the distance, which was really weird. And so I don't know if anybody else has any experience with these green balls of light or, you know, spotlights like that. I'm not sure about aliens or anything like that, but love the podcast. Thanks.
Thank you, Caleb, for the phone call. Oh, yeah. Listening at night is definitely a prerequisite. A must, if you will. And what is it with this color green again? And that arching behavior the light seems to exhibit. Like the craft was skipping across the sky like flat rocks on a lake surface. Now, I've heard these same details enough to say with a ton of confidence that there is something glowing in green out there in our skies. Is it ours? Or someone else's? Or possibly something else's? That is the important question. Now, I'll keep my ears open for more green UFOs going forward. I have no doubt that there are plenty of them out there. But until then, thank you again, Caleb, for calling in.
Our investigative team?
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Inside to outside. Clint Kubiak, he had...
You know, another color I hear about often in reports is the color orange. Take Chris's story out of California as the perfect example.
Hello, this is Chris from Fresno. Let's see, this happened about 3 weeks ago. It was the night of November 16th. It was my wife's birthday. It was about 7:48 in the p.m., we were coming back from her birthday dinner. We were on our way home. We jumped back on the freeway, and there's two kind of curves from the freeway. When you're heading from north to south-ish on the 41, and if you're from Fresno, you'll know what I'm talking about. So coming down about a few miles on the right side, I was sitting in the passenger side. On the right side, there is Buffalo Wild Wings. So about not even a quarter mile after that, I just happened to look at the sky, and there was clouds, because it was a cloudy evening. I'm not sure if it had rained that morning, but it had rained the 15th, and it was supposed to rain the 17th. Okay, so it was cloudy. There was not a star in the sky. It was just pitch black. The sky was just black. You couldn't see anything other than the streetlights and whatnot. But I had looked over in the sky. There was a hole, per se, in the sky. Like the clouds had opened a little bit, and I could see the dark clouds, and with something orange behind it, like a light, you know, orange light that was behind the clouds, and with a black dot, like something was coming out of it and into it. And I had looked at it again, right? And I told my wife, like, oh F, I just seen something. And she was like, what is it? And I was like, hold on. And it didn't really like dawn on me like what it was. And then I was like, I don't know, I was just kind of weirded out for a second, though, that I had actually told her. Then I looked at it again, and it was still there. And then I looked at it again within about a hundredth of a second later, and it was gone. And I didn't know what it was. I have no idea. I've never seen anything like that before. That was something that I had seen, and it happened that evening. And I happened to look at the clock right after, and it was 7:48. And we were still on the freeway, and we had just happened to pass it. When I was listening to the actual podcast, someone had said that it was like you had seen something that you weren't supposed to see. And when I actually felt that way, I didn't necessarily want to tell anybody, because I just felt weird. And, you know, no one wants to be called a liar or anything like that. But if you do see something, that kind of worked up the nerve for about a week and a half to actually call. So if you do actually have something, you know, don't be afraid and let it out. And I'm sure someone has seen something similar or something like that, because it was actually something weird, and I have not seen anything like it, nor could I even make something like this up, because it was just really weird. And it was, you know, like something that, I don't know, but the black dot was darker than the clouds, with an orange-like sky-looking light or something on the other side of the clouds. So, yeah, take for what you will, but, yeah, Chris calling from Fresno. And that's when it did happen, that day and that time. Thank you very much. Love your podcast, brother. Bless you.
Thank you, Chris. Now, if you're anything like me, you're curious. And you might be wondering when UFOs are seen most often. Well, Towards Data Science, an online publication, took 80,000 UFO reports from the National UFO Reporting Center database and assembled them into these statistics. UFOs are extremely seasonal. Nearly every year shows the same distribution of sightings through the months, with a big peak between June and July in almost every year. The vast majority of reports are made between 8 and 10 p.m. More specifically, nearly 50% of sightings occur between 8 p.m. and midnight. And, as you might have suspected, there are more sightings on the weekends, Saturdays and Sundays specifically. The gradual ramping up of sightings through the week is similar to what you would see in retail sales. Monday is slow, then shopping picks up through the week, with the biggest bumps on the weekend. So if you break that information down, essentially what it's saying is that people see UFOs when they're outside the most. So I guess that makes sense. But as for the actual hole in the sky that Chris saw, there is a thing called a fall streak cloud, or a hole punch cloud, and it's formed when conditions are perfect and an airplane or a jet flies through a thin cloud, pulling a lot of the frozen vapor along with it, forming the strange-looking donut hole. So you know it's entirely possible that the orange hole was simply the setting sun in the background. And that black dot, it could have been the plane that caused the fall street cloud to begin with. At least that's my theory. Regardless, it was a great story. And we thank you again, Chris, for sharing it here with us. Now kids, don't forget to check out Monsters Among Us Jr., the youngsters version of the program. My co-host, Delaney Bowers, and I have quite a collection of kids' calls lined up to scare your socks off. And grown-ups, a lot of these stories are pretty good, so you might want to tune in as well. Find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. New episodes release each and every Wednesday. Now, next up, we hear from Molly up in Washington State.
Hi, Derek. My name is Molly, and I'm from Bremerton, Washington, and this is my backyard UFO story. I'm actually currently listening to the podcast before I go to my night class at university, and I'm on season 14, episode 12, and I'm calling in response to that gentleman in Moses Lake who saw, like, the question mark fly across the sky. I didn't see a question mark, but I saw something very, very similar. This story happened in 2019 in my backyard from, it was probably between 10 p.m. and 1 a.m. I was sitting out with my mom and dad around a campfire celebrating my mom's birthday. And my dad ran inside to go get another drink of water. And me and my mom are sitting at the campfire. And at the time, I was going to school and studying astronomy. So my mom was telling me, Molly, please explain to me the constellations in the sky. And so I went ahead and started explaining the constellations. I started with, like, Orion, and then told her about the Pleiades and the Pegasus. And then I got to the Big Dipper. And when I looked at the Big Dipper, everyone knows what the Big Dipper looks like. This wasn't the Big Dipper. There was four other stars that were, like, below the Big Dipper, like, directly below it. And the two middle stars kind of in the middle of this four cluster were closer together than the other two. And I kind of started to freak out because I was like, Mom, that's the Big Dipper, but that's not the Big Dipper. The Big Dipper does not have four other stars below it. And so I was freaking out. My mom was kind of freaking out. And my dad started to come back to the campfire. And right as he came to the campfire, these stars, or these random stars, lights, I don't know what to call them, kind of became animate and almost, like, came closer and then kind of slowly floated and moved across the sky in, like, a diagonal direction. And I never saw them again. And I haven't seen anything like that since. I have seen other UFOs and experienced some other weird stuff just living in the Pac Northwest. But yeah, I'm just calling in response to that guy in Moses Lake. Yeah, I believe what you saw. And there's sometimes weird star-like light objects that just appear in the sky and will float away. Yeah, anyways, I love the show. I hope you can use this. Yeah, see you later. Bye.
Thank you, Molly. Now, upon my request, Delaney sent over some information regarding which U.S. cities report the most UFOs. And I bet this doesn't surprise Molly at all. But her area came in as number one. The top 10 cities, according to Medium, are as follows. Number 10, Miami, Florida. Number 9, Tucson, Arizona. Number 8, Chicago, Illinois. Number 7, Houston, Texas. Number 6, San Diego, California. Number 5, my hometown of Los Angeles. Number 4, Las Vegas, Nevada. Number 3 is Portland, Oregon. Number 2 is Phoenix, Arizona. And peaking at number 1 is the beautiful Seattle, Washington. So it sounds like if you want to see a UFO, you need to get yourself out west. And I bet Molly will also agree with that statement. A huge thanks to her for calling in. Now, don't forget to pick up some merchandise to help support the show. Visit our website at monstersamonguspodcast.com and click the shop tab. There is a plethora of MAU-themed gnarly art ripe for the picking. And it's the spooky season, so you don't want to miss out on all the exclusive gear. monstersamonguspodcast.com and click that shop tab. Now next up is a familiar voice, a repeat offender, if you will. Eli from Hawaii. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, Derek, it's Eli. Wanted to call and tell you about my first UFO encounter in Hawaii. That was actually last night, December 18th, 2019. Started off like any normal night. I had run out to help a friend out, put some furniture together, and I was just getting back home. And we got a new car, so I'm not parking underneath my carport anymore. I'm parked about 30 feet, 40 feet away. So I'm walking back to my car, and I look up, and I see what I thought was a shooting star, because it was moving really quick across the sky. And I was like, oh, okay, I'm just waiting for it to go out. But it didn't go out. And it didn't have, like, any type of tail that I'm used to seeing when I've seen shooting stars. It's some little bit of a tail of light behind it. This started streaking across the sky. I saw it. I was like, oh, okay, cool. And then it stopped in midair and shot back the direction it came. I was, okay, well, that's interesting. So I watched it for a second or two more. It streaked back the way it was originally going, stopped, and then went out. Okay, you know, light in the sky, don't really have an explanation for it. The thing that made it really weird is about maybe 20, 30 minutes after that, I was heading out to go get my wife some ice cream, and I looked up in the sky, and there were obvious jets and helicopters flying in the general area where I had seen the UFO. Don't have any friends that work at the Air Force base, unfortunately, over here to try to contact them and see if they had sent anything up or had heard anything. But I do have friends that work on the naval base that's attached to it, and they did say that they had told the aviators that work on Hickam to get into their helicopters and go do a practice route. So I don't know how true all of it was, or if I even saw anything, or if it was just a routine late night flight for anything, but just thought it was kind of interesting to see. Hadn't seen any type of UFO activity since I've been out here. So love the show. Keep it up. All right, Derek, I'll call again with more stuff. Have a good one. Bye.
Thanks, Eli. You know, you hear about that sort of behavior a lot as well. And it sounds an awful lot like the UFO saga that my dad has been detailing for years now. Stars that aren't stars. Planets that seem to move at near warp speeds. And strange jets and helicopters that circle the area. And what's wild here is that Eli and my dad aren't the only ones to experience this strange behavior. The story from Anonymous in North Carolina. It's all the similar notes.
Hi, Derek. I'm going to remain anonymous, and I'm calling from a town just south of Charlotte, North Carolina, about something weird that I saw just last night in the sky. And I'm hoping you can maybe shed some light on what I saw, because I had definitely never seen it or experienced it, and just curious your thoughts on what you think it might be. So it is February 2023, just coming off the heels of the Chinese balloon that flew from Montana all the way down to the North Carolina coast, which is kind of where I'm located, or at least in the state of North Carolina. And I have a pretty large backyard, so I like to stargaze in the evenings out in the backyard. And so yesterday, nothing unusual. I go out to check out the stars. It's a pretty clear night and pretty nice view of the constellation Orion in the, I guess, southeastern sky. And so I'm looking towards the south skies, nighttime skies, and something pretty weird caught my eye. And very used to seeing satellites and other space debris kind of moving through the night sky, but this was a little bit different. So it appeared, it caught my eye, and it moved kind of quickly and then just disappeared. Okay, no big deal. I kind of used to seeing that. It didn't arc across the sky. In fact, it didn't travel very far. I wish I could tell you how far it went. Wouldn't even know how to calculate. It was not a very lengthy area of the sky that it traversed. But after it disappeared, I was still looking in that same area to see if I could see it again reappear in the nighttime sky, when not even a second later, it appeared in the same exact place that had just appeared previously, this time a little bit brighter, again followed the same path that it had just done, and disappeared again.
Then it did it again a third time, a fourth time, each time getting brighter and brighter, and each time appearing in the same exact place in the nighttime sky and disappearing in the same exact place. So almost like on repeat. And it was a little weird. It didn't seem to be the same object moving through the sky. It looked definitely like a satellite or a star, just that it got brighter every time it reappeared. And it followed the same exact path and disappeared in the same exact location each time. So the second time I saw it, the third time, I'm like, huh, that's interesting. I saw it a total of six times, just repeating right after each little sighting, it appeared again. And it didn't change in speed or distance. It seemed to be traveling the same exact location. Just the only difference was that once it would reappear, it seemed brighter. So I don't know that it was reappearing. It was probably something completely different. My initial thoughts was that it was some kind of debris coming off of something, and therefore, you know, chunks of metal or whatever it would be would follow the same trajectory across the sky. Like I said, it wasn't traveling very far. It was kind of like a shooting star, but not as fast, but faster than the slow-moving satellites that you see moving throughout the night sky. I've seen the International Space Station several times from the backyard. I've seen shooting stars. This was just so odd because the pattern just kept repeating. So it almost reminded me of like little laser beams or something that were shooting out, where you'd see the laser bullet, I guess, move, disappear, another one appear in the same exact place. There was nothing that I could see that these lights were coming from. And like I said, it looks kind of like a star, just getting brighter and brighter, a white star, no object that it seemed to be coming from. And it was happening in the southern sky, so southeastern sky, actually more south than the constellation Orion, which was the most, I guess, present landmark that I could identify in the night sky that it was nearby. Anyway, curious your thoughts and what you think it could be. It was definitely weird. And I'll call in with more star stories if I see any. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you, caller. Now, I've seen similar things myself. Something way, way up there, flashing off and on. If you stare at a section of sky long enough, you'll see it too, I think. But I've always assumed that it was the sun reflecting off some space junk that was just really far away. So far that it's still somehow in the sun's light, even though it'd been dark here for hours. At least that's what I'd always assumed them to be. Given all this new information, I may be second-guessing that theory. But either way, it's eerie stuff, caller. And we can't thank you enough for calling in. Now, folks, don't go anywhere. I have several more stories to share with you right after these messages.
It has a significant attachment to her.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai. Kosai.org.
Now, I'm not sure how to label this one other than WTF. You tell me what Ethan in New York saw.
My name is Ethan. I'm from upstate New York, a small town off the coast of Lake Ontario. I want to start by saying that I used to have nightmares, reoccurring nightmares when I was younger. They were nightmares that were so specific and felt so real. It was as if it was actually happening. What would happen was, we lived down a road that was a long driveway, and I would have nightmares of being chased by a UFO from the end of the road to the door of the house. I would slam the door, and every time I would slam the door and the UFO would get closer, closer and closer to catching me. And then eventually the dreams would morph, they change. An alien would come out of the UFO, and the alien would get closer and closer to getting me. And this alien looked like a classic gray, but with like tentacles and stuff, like something out of like Men in Black. But point is, this dream was terrifying, and I had no real interest in aliens and all that when I was younger. But as I got older, they just terrified me. But as I got older, I got more interested. In the fall of 2016, I seen what cannot be explained. It doesn't exist. If it exists, the government doesn't know about it, and we don't know about it, and I can't explain it. In the fall of 2016, I was in my room playing video games online with friends, and my mom came to me in a frenzy. She was freaking out. I thought it was something I had to do, like get a bug out of the kitchen or something. But what she seen was a triangle UFO. Now, I've heard on your show before that other people had seen them, especially the couple had seen a big one above them. But, oh man, I'm getting shook up here talking about it. But when she came to me, she said she was freaking out. She was on the back porch smoking cigarettes, and she was stone cold sober. So was I, because I was only 18 at the time. I had just graduated in June. So me, my brother, my sister, and my mother, we went to the back door and looked out, and we seen this triangle UFO, black triangle UFO with beautiful colors on the sides. It was red, green, blue, yellow. It was like a mixture, kind of like a kaleidoscope, like that. It was just a classic black triangle with a white light on the bottom of the triangle, kind of like, you know, like depictions of them sucking up cows. That's what it had. It was a little white light on the bottom of the triangle. Completely black, besides the colors on the sides, the side panels were all colors. Red, green, blue, yellow. It was completely silent. It was around 8, 9 p.m. It was almost completely dark. And it was the most beautiful thing I'd ever seen. Like, I had always wanted to see a UFO or something like that. And from then on, I was hooked. I knew that they existed. Not just like suspected that they existed, that, you know, Area 51 and all that, you know, and Roswell. I seen it 2 more times, once again 2 years later, and then once again 2 years later again. So every 2 years it seems I see this thing. In 2016 in the fall, in 2020 around August, I think, and then 2022 I seen it again in the fall near winter. I seen it from my new house. Now, let me tell you about this craft. This craft was completely silent. This craft was no larger than like an F-16, F-22, you know, something like that. It looked like it could hold like 2-3 people. 2 people. It was colorful on the sides, the panels, like I said. And it was so eerie. It made my skin crawl. And here's the issue. When I tell this story, people don't believe me. Then I didn't get a picture of this craft. I didn't get a photo. Because my phone was quite literally dead. It was on 1%. So I called my friend and I told her, hey, I'm looking right at a UFO. I've never seen this before. It's not in the military. My entire life I've followed military history, military in general. I've never seen anything like this. And if it exists, it does exist because they've seen it. So if it's ours, which now I'm starting to believe that the craft that I seen, this triangle craft that was no higher than 50, 60, 70 feet in the air. It was so low. If I was a baseball pitcher, I could have hit it with a baseball so easily. Honestly, I can't explain what I've seen, but this triangle craft was so beautiful, and I've seen it 3 times, and it was going, the first time I seen it was coming from the north. Over my house, it was going no more than like 5 knots, no more than, you know, just hovering. but it had no noise. And it was coming from the north, from Lake Ontario. And it started turning east. I watched this thing turn left and start heading east away from where I was. It quite literally turned above my house, just past my house, and kept traveling. It was such an incredible experience. Now, the second time I seen it, this is where it gets a little funny, but the second time I seen it, I was actually going outside to take my dogs out. I was 20 at the time, and I was taking the dogs out to go potty, and what I seen was the same thing, except this time, I was in the front yard doing my business. I was kind of taking a piss, to be quite honest with you. I was pissing right there in my yard, and here comes the triangle UFO again. This time it was around 2 a.m. It was around 1, almost 2 a.m. And I joked to my friends that I'm on some alien reality show about humans somewhere, but that's besides the point. The fact is, I seen this craft three times. It was a black triangle with a white light on the bottom, beautiful colored sides. I don't know what it was, and that's my story. Thank you.
Thanks, Ethan. Well, I'll tell you what he saw. One of those cloaking triangles that we discuss so often. In fact, we most recently discussed them back on Season 17, Episode 17, where I read nearly half a dozen other reports that describe something exactly like what Ethan is describing. A large triangle craft with some sort of projection between the corners. Or camouflage, I suppose you could call it. Honestly, to me, it sounds like the cloaking mechanism on these craft, especially the one Ethan saw, seemed to be malfunctioning at the time. Because we don't often hear of the bright colors, just a projection of the stars and sky behind it. I liken this to a billboard that's somehow on the fritz. You're driving by the freeway and you see the blue screen of death, or some other weird glitch. Maybe it's like that. Well, whatever it was, Ethan, you're not the only one to have seen it. Go check out Season 17, Episode 17. It's real. I just don't know what it is. And lastly, Ethan, you really should have used that last 1% of your battery to take a photo instead of calling your friend. I'd really like to lay eyes on one of these things. But regardless, thanks again for sharing the story.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai. Kosai.org.
Her core convictions are well known.
5 to 10 inches of the brain over the past day or so.
Now, folks, for tonight's closing call. And before I hit play, a little warning for this one. In the past, I've encouraged our more nervous submitters to write down their story and read along as they tell it so they can stay on track and leave a more concise story. So with that in mind, please welcome Jason from the state of Washington.
This is Jason, Washington. I wanted to tell you about my visit to Skinwalker Ranch. To preface, I've grown up with paranormal experience being the norm, which has caused me to be quick to listen but slow to believe, as my standard has been made very high. My then-girlfriend, now wife, is also someone who had just the weirdest things happen to her. Put it together and you get a paranormal magnet. The story I'm going to tell you is when I first met her dad, my future father-in-law. We were living in Utah at the time, and her parents were visiting from Arkansas. Her dad wanted to make the most of the trip by visiting the nearby site of Skinwalker Ranch, which we were all big fans of and knew the story backwards and front since it was so close, about 2.5 hours from where we were living at the time. Since it's a government-owned property, we researched the route to take and what places you were allowed to park, just to make sure we didn't get into any legal trouble. On October 7th of 2018, at about 6 p.m., we headed out. We packed light clothes since it had been unseasonably warm and was expected to be so for the next few weeks. This is important later. We weren't expecting to see anything. We just wanted to say that we went. We stopped off at a gas station, grabbed some snacks and energy drinks, and made our way. We parked on a lookout point in front of Bottle Hollow Reservoir, called UFO Ridge, about a 200-foot rise on the edge of the range. We had an amazing view, and while we were waiting for it to get dark, we did a rough estimate of the size of what we could see. About 5 miles from us to the mountain range on the other side, and a width of also about 5 miles. It looked like regular Utah country, but we immediately noticed what looked like a campfire in the middle of the ranch. After about an hour of hanging out, my then-girlfriend says, guys, look at the fire. I don't think that's a fire. Immediately after she says that, as if it hurt her, the campfire shot up into the air and started flitting around like a firefly. All of a sudden, a bunch of other red, yellow, blue, and orange orbs start popping up across the ranch. We watched about 28 orbs darting around, clearing the 5 mile width of the ranch we could see in about 10 seconds. Different colors were merging into blue ones and popping up on the other sides out of another blue one. It was nuts. We couldn't believe our eyes. No alcohol, no drugs, save for half of an energy drink. The other half was completely forgotten about. Not even the snacks were touched. We were so engrossed by what we were seeing. A few orbs made their way up the path towards us as if to check us out, then head back. The closest they got were about 50 feet away, but you could see how big they were. They ranged from what seemed to be around 5 to 10 feet in diameter. After about 3 hours of watching these orbs dancing around, it was dark at this point. We saw what we thought were three of the red ones moving in sync upward. They seemed to all turn in sync, and we saw a rainbow iridescent shimmer ripple between them. It was a giant triangle, the triangle ship that had been spotted countless times before. Something like a spotlight shone out of the front and started panning across the ground, slowly making its way over to us. Then it was almost like it knew we were there the whole time. The light whipped up to us, and as soon as it hits us, all three of us freeze and are completely unable to move. We felt this inexplicable, nauseating terror that came out of nowhere. As its light is on us, it does what I can only explain as a jump scare. It zoomed really close to us, closing that 5 mile gap in a split second, then backed away real slow. As soon as it turned its light away from us, the terror just went away, like it wasn't even there, and we were able to move. I look over at the other two and say, "Did that just?" And they say in unison, "That just happened." We hung out there for about another hour, deciding to drive down to the entrance to see all the menacing government no-entry signs. To set the scene, it's a one-way street that's lined with tight fencing on each side, and it ends in a cement blockade with all the signs and a tiny dirt patch to turn your car around. Past the blockade, there's another thin dirt road with tight fencing on each side, and another bigger cement blockade covering the road. It was 2 a.m. at this point. We didn't pass any cars on our way in, and there were no cars on that dirt road. No cars beyond the second blockade either. We took some pictures, and I accidentally snagged a picture of a UFO. Very blurry, of course, since it was a UFO, and it was dark, and all I had was my phone. But after about 15 minutes of taking pictures and looking around, we turn the car around to leave, and the second we start to pull out, these super bright headlights appear behind us and closely follow us until we reach the end of the road. I'm in the back seat, flipped around the whole time, watching these headlights. And as we turn onto the main road, by the light of a street light, I catch a glimpse of the car. It's a long, black, older, like something you'd see out of the 50s, looking car. I only caught a glimpse of it because all of a sudden it just disappears. Like I'm looking at it, I blink, and it's gone. We keep driving the same way we had come in, and about to reach the turnoff for the freeway, when we see this deer that wasn't there before, cut in half on each side of the road, like a clean, straight cut with no blood or guts anywhere. The top half was on the right side, and the bottom half was on the left side. The second we passed this deer, we entered the biggest, heaviest blizzard I have ever seen. We're following the GPS, taking the same route to go home as we had taken to get there. It should have taken us 20 minutes to get back on the freeway, but we were driving in that blizzard for about 3 hours. What could be seen of the scenery outside remained the same. It just kept turning and winding, never splitting off to another road, just 3 hours of driving what seemed to be the same stretch in this crazy blizzard. Once we finally got on the freeway, we looked behind us, and it's a clear sky. We can still see where the ranch is from where we are, and there's not a cloud in the sky for as far as we can see in either direction. We took the hint that we had overstayed our welcome and haven't gone back since. Like I said, we didn't expect to see anything at all, but we got the full treatment, save thankfully for the wolf. But did the wolf leave that deer there? Love the show. My wife and I are binging it. I hope this makes it into the episode, and I can't wait to hear more. Thank you.
Thank you, Jason. Now, of course, when a story is read like that, it automatically puts everyone's guard up, because it's much harder to gauge sincerity, and it's much easier to lie when all the information is on paper right in front of you. But for what it's worth, Delaney found a post her caller made on Reddit that seems to detail the exact same thing, and all the little nuances seem to match up. And there's some additional information there as well if you would like to take a deeper dive. Of course, the link to it is over in the show notes. But on to Skinwalker Ranch. I remember first hearing about this place when I was probably in high school. I'd heard about it from someone at school, I believe, that maybe read the book or something. Either way, it blew my mind. And if Jason's stories are to be believed, the place still will. I really need to get over there. If anyone has any hookups, please help me get my boots on the ground. I'm ready and prepared to have my point of view altered as well. And speaking of altering point of views, thank you for joining me here tonight. I hope I helped you open your eyes to the wild world of UFOs. Now, be sure to catch the latest installment of Monsters Among Us on Thursday evening. And naturally, I'll be back here next Tuesday with a themed episode as well. Until then, Monsters Among Us is written and produced by me, Derek Hayes. Copyright Red Crow Media. Additional support is provided by Sarah Carter Hayes and Delaney Bowers. All media used in this production is done so under the protection of fair use. Give us a like and follow at Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and anywhere else you might find the show. Also, don't forget to visit onxnetwork.com to catch the show every Saturday night at 11 p.m. Eastern on their streaming platform. Finally, tonight's score was provided by Iron Cthulhu Apocalypse, co.agmusic, and Carl Casey at White Bat Audio. Thank you again for tuning in. If you've seen something you can't explain, give me a call at 888-608-NIGHT. Until then, keep it spooky, and have yourself a good night.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.